welcome everyone to another incredible episode of Chat with Dan. For tonight, we have an incredible, super badass guest. Her name is Ariel. I mean, for those who don't know Ariel, please tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Ariel Hansen. I'm a actor, director, writer, voice actor, dabble in costuming, and I specialize in everything creepy, spooky, and macabre.
So you're basically doing everything here. I love it.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
That's pretty cool. So that's basically this interview. You could be like, okay, so here's everyone. Here's Ariel. She's doing everything. Good night, everyone. You know, I love it. That's pretty cool. But tell me where the journey begins. You know, like, where does this passion for acting and for the arts, you know, in general, started?
Yeah, well, ever since I was a little kid, I always loved performing. Like, I would go around to the different tables at restaurants when I was really little and just like do a little character to try to get people entertained, even though I was there with my family to eat dinner. So I was a little precocious back then, and then eventually when I figured out, oh, you can do it on a stage and lots of people will watch you, then I started doing drama class and everything in school as well as outside of school. And then when I was in high school, I also started to dabble in writing and directing some plays. And then I moved to Vancouver eventually, where I went to Vancouver Acting School and did their full-time program. A part of that was actually writing a feature screenplay. So I did that as a part of the program. And then also voiceover was one of the things we had to take as well. Fell in love with voiceover, and so ever since then I've just been working towards making movies whatever way I can be involved.
I love it. That's awesome. And tell me, so basically starting from the bottom over here, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love it. So what I was saying here, that's pretty cool, the fact that since little, you know, everything just kind of matched up. And I found that pretty interesting at the same time, that basically it's like life's telling you that you're on the right path, and instantly everything just start to make sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But tell me, like, what were some of the challenges that you had? So time went by, but when you were making like those first acting steps, let's say, what were some of the challenges that you had?
Yeah. Well, it was definitely hard at first to find an agent. That took me a while because at the time I was just, you know, young Caucasian woman, long brown hair, kind of looked a lot like a lot of other young women, so pretty saturated market. And I hadn't done a ton of, like, I hadn't built up my voiceover resume either at that point. So I basically put a bunch of focus into working on indie stuff so that I could build up that experience, build up the resume, build up the demos. And over time, eventually, I built up enough work that I was able to find agents interested in working with me. And my success first started to come more so in voiceover. So I signed with my voiceover agent, who I'm still with, and I work pretty regularly, I'd say. It's been one of those things where every year it feels like there's more and more auditions and more bookings each year. So it's something that's definitely built. And then for on camera, I actually was still struggling to find a lot of work on that side of things until within the past year, actually. I decided to change my look completely, and then I had a much easier time finding representation. So I've been doing a lot of auditions for that. But for on camera, actually, because of my frustration of how long it was taking me to find an agent, that's what led me into directing my own work, because I basically kind of threw my hands up in the air and said, if no one's going to make a role for you, so you might as well make one for yourself. So I started directing and writing short films that I also acted in. And that was just to basically help me build up that resume and reel and get my face out there more.
There you have
it. And then I fell in love with directing.
There you go. I mean, that's awesome. The fact that you managed to create your own stuff. And that is something that I have also discovered with some of the actors that I've interviewed, that they will do, you know, many auditions, as pretty much all of them. But eventually they get kind of a little bit, they get the idea to be like, okay, if I'm being rejected, then I'm going to create something. And they just switch instantly to create like a story, make it a short film, you know. And I found it pretty cool. The fact that you're able to kind of not being in this kind of a situation in which be like, okay, because I'm not getting any audition, then I'm not going to do anything, you know?
Yeah, it really gives you more of a sense of control over your career, because so much of it is in the hands of someone else, like whether they bring you in for an audition, whether they decide to bring you in for a callback. Those are things that are basically you do the work and you do the best job that you can, but ultimately it's someone else who decides whether or not you're going to get the job.
Totally.
So by making your own work, it just brings a greater sense of control and it's freeing, because it means that you don't have to wait for someone else to give you permission to have your work displayed in a greater sense than just in an audition room.
Absolutely. I mean, and now that you mentioned that, like how you handled the rejection, because I mean, that is one of the things that I also have discovered, that you, as an actor, you will get rejected a lot of times, but a lot of them. So how you handle that rejection, be like, okay, it didn't happen, wasn't meant to be, move to the next one.
Yeah, I've, my method, if you could say, at least when it comes to auditions, is I do my best to never think about it again as soon as it's sent off. So it's like, okay, I sent the audition off. Now I pretend that never happened and move on.
Yeah, I think that's the healthiest way possible. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also not telling people about auditions that you're doing, just because when I was younger in the past, I would mention it. And then of course, you know, a month later or something, you get people being like, so did you get that audition? And it's like, no, you would have heard if I had. So just kind of keeping things a bit more to yourself, so that way there's no external forces reminding you about it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I do the same thing when I'm about to interview someone. I just keep it to myself, and once it's released, then I say I have
interview.
Exactly. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating whenever you get this opportunity, be like, yeah, it's gonna happen. Then you tell friends, family. I mean, and of course, when they ask you, they do it in the most positive, happiest way possible.
Oh, of course.
You know, but still, it's hurt. I mean, it hurts when you say, no, it didn't happen. You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's, they're asking from a place of interest and love.
Absolutely.
They just, it, because it's such a different world from what they're used to, it just has unintended consequences for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I ended up learning that same lessons, to be like, you know what, I'm just not gonna say anything, and once everything is released, then I'm gonna say, yeah, I did this and I did that, instead of being like, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and then whenever they ask, you be like, yeah, no, it happened. You know.
Yeah, and also from like another perspective, I remember reading somewhere that like psychologically, saying that you're going to do a thing can actually trick your brain into thinking you've already done it, so then you don't actually work as hard towards getting the thing done, because you've already gotten that, and that dopamine hit of like, oh, I've done the thing, even though you haven't.
That actually makes a lot of sense. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. You never know what you can learn. I love it. I love that. I'm going to keep that. Yeah. Okay. And tell me, like, what has been some of the worst auditions you ever had?
Oh, well, one time I think I auditioned for something and they were having us come into a coffee shop.
Okay.
To do the audition. And it was just, I got there and it was like a room full of people, but I just remember, I don't remember it very well because I've tried to forget it actually, but there were definitely, I just remember being there and being like these red flags going off, and I was just like, afterwards I emailed them or something and I was like, you know what, I don't think I want to be a part of this project. All the best, everything. I just don't think this is for me. Of course, trying to be as polite as I could be.
Absolutely.
But yeah, other auditions. I mean, for the most part, I'm usually just happy to be getting auditions. especially like experiencing such a long dry spell at the beginning of my career. It's like, now I'm just like, yes, I am excited to be auditioning. Yeah. There's been a couple times where I just turned down auditions because the projects didn't really fit with my personal, with like my personal values. So that's cases though of like, I never even did the auditions because I wouldn't have said yes even if I booked them. So
totally. And now that you mentioned that, I mean, like how you managed to distinguish from a shady, you know, I mean, I would assume that at some point it has happened to you that they were that you were called for an audition, but when you did like a little bit of research, sound pretty shady. Like how you managed to kind of see the ones who are like 100% reals and not so real, or be like there's like a catch on it or something like that.
Yeah, so there's a few things that I do. First off, when I'm finding like these independent auditions, even for bigger projects as well, I like to use IMDb to look up all the people who are listed as being involved, so I know what previous things they've worked on. That can sort of give you a sense of what kind of project this could be, as well as for independent stuff, mostly where the location they're doing the audition, or at least back before we switched over to self-tapes, it would be like, where are they doing the audition? Is it like their apartment building? In that case, maybe let's stay away from that. And yeah, I mean, a lot of it's really just seeing who's involved, seeing the language in the casting call, whether they seem like they know what they're talking about or not, avoiding Craigslist. Luckily here in Vancouver, there's a pretty good resource for independent casting calls. It's called the Vancouver Actors Guide. So when there's a casting call on there, they've at least sort of met a minimum threshold of information that they've provided and everything. So it's a pretty good way to just look at everything and see, okay, this should be okay.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty interesting because, I mean, I would assume that, I mean, it happens to all of us. Whenever we're starting something new, we don't know, you know, that we don't know much of it. You know, we are like kind of naive on it, and we start to discover that sometimes, I mean, there's good people on it, of course, but sometimes there are not so cool people out there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, it sucks because at the same time, I mean, you just want to, you know, follow your dream, get a project book, things like that. And yeah, it's I mean, I would assume that it feels horrible whenever you discover like, oh, okay, this was one of those, or be like, oh, super shady, you know? So
yeah. It also helps to just like building up relationships within the industry as well. Then it helps to be able to be like, oh, you worked with this person on this project, what were they like? So if they are, say, a sketchy person or something, there's people who might be able to let you know ahead of time, and then you can avoid those situations as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, interesting. Now let's say one day I call and I tell you that I want to become an actor, you know. So I just turned 30. I want to throw everything away and start on this journey from zero. What advice would you give to someone who doesn't have any experience at all, but has all the attitude and energy to be like, I want to start this?
First thing I would tell you is take some classes. I would say before you quit everything and start doing it, take some part-time classes to make sure that it's actually something you enjoy. because it is something that you need to make sure you're passionate about it. Otherwise, like, the rejection and everything, it's a lot to put yourself through if you don't actually enjoy it. So take classes, start with part-time. If you find that you're really enjoying the part-time classes, then look into a full-time program. And then once you've got some a bit of education under your belt, start doing those indie productions to build up your resume, build up your reel. And also, that once you've got a bit of little bit of experience with the indie stuff, also approaching agencies and submitting to them to see if they'd be interested in representing you, so then you can start auditioning for the bigger budget things that will actually pay you. And so, yeah, it's definitely always starts with classes, because acting into a void is not going to be the best way to build your skills and set yourself up for success.
I'll take that in mind. Once I get my Oscar as best actor, I'm going to mention you in my thank you speech.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. I would say that it wouldn't have been possible without our reels advice. So here we are. I love it.
Oh, and also, other advice I would say is, when you're doing those smaller indie projects, make friends with the crew, because you never know who's, like, you never know what they're going to do. But it's also just really great to, on set, have that camaraderie instead of it just being sort of the actors off in their corner and then everyone else. Really creating a community on set is a great thing, because not only can you help each other out, for instance, I'm going to be acting in a couple projects coming up in the new year, and they were looking for makeup artists. I'm friends with some makeup artists, so I was able to connect them. So that's going to help make the project I'm already on even better, as well as create opportunities for these friends I've made on set.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, okay. You know, once an actor told me, when I asked him this question, he told me basically he just said, the best advice I can give to you, if you want to be an actor, just don't be a dick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that really is one of the top tenets to have a lasting career.
Yeah, because you never know. Because he was telling me, like, you never know, because if you were not nice with someone, you know, either a director or someone from the cast or someone from the crew or someone like that, you never know who at some point might gonna need you and be like, who can I who can I have, or who can I recommend? And trust me, if you were not nice, you're not gonna be even on the list, you know what I mean? So he was basically telling me, like, as you mentioned, to be kind of friendly with everyone, because you never know. And that makes a lot of sense, actually. Yeah. Now, tell me, like, let's say that one day, you know, Netflix, HBO Max, Disney Plus, you name it, they call you and they tell you that they got this incredible idea in which goes that all of the characters you have played at the moment, all of them, since day one until the most recent one, they're going to gather to celebrate your birthday. But that film needs a name. So how would you call it?
Hansen's House of Hilarious Horrors.
Okay, that actually sounds like a little bit of Disney project. Okay.
I feel like I am kind of ripping off the Hilarious House of Frightenstein with that, but I just love alliteration so much.
Yeah, okay. I can understand that. All right. I'll take it. Now, what about if you had to describe your whole career but on a drink, which one would it be? Now, you could choose one that, you know, it's already been made, or you can create right now on the spot. So it's up to you.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be something definitely with some grenadine in there, because I've worked with so much fake blood.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. If I had done more zombie roles, I'd say a brain hemorrhage, but I also don't like those that much, you know, the curdling? No, thank you. So, maybe if you took, like, some... Ooh, okay. So, One of my favorite drinks in general is metheglin, which is mead but with spices. Okay. So you take a metheglin, maybe you do a grenadine rim, and then add a bit of I can't remember the name of the like a cinnamon whiskey or a spicy liqueur. Add a little bit of that, and then maybe a splash of soda water to balance out the sweetness a bit.
Mm.
And I think that could be an interesting drink for my career.
And how would you call it?
A bloody bite of spice.
Okay. All right, that's pretty creative. I like it. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm so ashamed. I used to work as a bartender, but we didn't really do cocktails. So it's like, Oh no, can't just say a beer.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Back in college, I did also a little bit of bartending, and they were always asking me either, you know, regular drinks, you know? So I can't stand that. Yeah.
Highball.
Yeah. I can't stand that. But I love it. I love it. I love that idea and I love the name. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. Okay. Now, what motivates you? You know, we all have those days that basically we want to quit, you know? And it's it's interesting because sometimes things might be okay. You know, nothing bad is happening, but we suddenly get this idea that that we screw it, you know, that we have wasted our time, that is that we are not in the place that we think that we should be, you know, all of those thoughts. So what pushes you back on this road, on this road that you have built for so many years now?
There's a couple things. So one is just like how much I care about what I do, and like I can't think of anything else that I could do with my life that would make me happy. So making films, telling stories, that's like the only thing that I can picture myself doing. And then there's a little part of me that's always like, need to prove the people who said no to you wrong. Okay. We must make them regret the rejecting of you. So it's a combination of passion and just a sprinkling of spite.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like it. Yeah. So basically, yeah. I mean, I kind of do the same thing, so I get it. I know what you mean. Yeah, it's pretty cool whenever you're like, I can't give up. I need to make sure to those who said that this was not gonna be possible, I'm gonna prove them wrong. So here we go again. So yeah.
Yeah, like, oh my gosh. When I was graduating from high school, I had one teacher who was like, you know, it's great that you're gonna be an actor and all, but you could do so much more. This was a science teacher, of course. And I was like, oh, that is such a backhanded compliment. I really want to do well as an actor now, to just be like,
Absolutely. And you are doing it. So if by any miracle he's listened to this, who's laughing now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love it.
I am literally laughing.
I love it. That's pretty cool. And like, what advice would you give to those who, you know, who are thinking about to start doing something different? You know, because I do think that, and like, especially like in art, I would say, you know, either acting, music, you know, that that whenever you say that you want to do that, you know, I want to start acting, everything, there's still like this, I mean, I'm not gonna call rejection, because no, but probably like this idea that, oh, you're not gonna make it, you know, you should find something else to do. Like what advice could you give to those who have like this idea to start doing something new, but they're a little bit afraid of the typical what if, you know, what if I don't make it? What if it doesn't work? You know, like all of those thoughts.
A few things. So first off, don't let other people tell you what success looks like. So a successful acting career could for one person look like, okay, I'm working full-time as an actor. That is all I do. That is how I pay my bills. Everything like that.
Yeah.
Another person, it could be, you know, I book one role or two every year. I've got a steady day job. I have that, I still get to do the acting, but I also don't have to worry about where my next meal's coming from. And then for some people, it might even be just, I do a bunch of community theater and it brings me happiness. I don't have that stress of it being my career. So really define what success looks like for you, and just don't feel that pressure to be like, it's all or nothing. Whatever creative field you want to try, you can do it at whatever level you want to, and that is your version of success.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit speechless right now, but yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think at the end also, I mean, if you want to do it, why not? I mean, for example, once someone told me that he wanted to, you know, he wanted to kind of quit his job and start on this new journey. And I was like, well, why don't you do it? Then he was like, well, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. But I was like, well, right now, if you think about it, you have the worst outcome, which is nothing. So why not try it, you know, and try to see.
Yeah, might as well try.
Yeah, and try to see if you can get something out of it. You know, probably
if
at the end didn't work out, then at least you tried it. Then at least you can remove that from your bucket list and be like, okay, so what else I can do now? You know, instead of playing safe, you know, because I used to, you know, I used to be like this guy working in an office, 9 to 5, well paid. And I never thought about it like, I mean, you never think about what's the future going to look like, you know? But then once you realize, like, okay, one day they're going to fire me because I'm not young enough, you know, I'm not the hot stuff anymore. So they're going to put someone younger than me. And that's it. You know, I'm just going to be what, like 60, 70? And then what? You know, I'm just going to spend the rest of my life just thinking about the things that I could have done, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of a little bit dark, but it's true. I mean, I do think that we all come to this world for something, but of course it's up to us to discover what is that something. And once you get it, work on it, you know, which I do think that sometimes people will be like a little bit discouraged because they don't get results right away, which I do think that is part of the whole world that we're living in right now, that if you want to buy something, you know, the next day you have it, things like that. So,
yeah. And I guess that's also what I was kind of trying to get at as well, is like, just because you're not doing things at the highest level at this point, that doesn't mean you're a failure. It means that you're building. Mm. And like, that's something that some like outside perspectives can sometimes be like, well, you're not doing what I see famous people doing, so clearly you're just a wannabe or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, at the end, do what you want to do, be happy, you know. If someone says don't do it because you're not gonna be able to do it, just go ahead and do it. You know, I do think that sometimes those comments come from people who actually thought about it, but they let fear and all of those thoughts came into like basically invade their heads and be like, you know what, I'm not gonna do it. And once they see someone who is actually have the spirit to try it, and it's so interesting because sometimes I discover that it's like, because I didn't do it, now I'm going to make sure you don't do it too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. Yep. But anyway, at the end, what can I say? What can I say, Ariel? I love what you do. It's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. It's super amazing. And the fact that you're doing it because you love it, you know, as simple and easy as some people might say, we all know that it's a pain in the butt, you know, to discover what makes you happy. And once you find it, I mean, I'm super sure that there has moments in which you're like, you know what, I'm going to quit. You know, I'm done with it, you know, but the fact that you're still doing it.
Everyone gets those moments. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. But you are making it happen. And I think that's proven up to everyone, including your science teacher, that everything's possible. And I love it. And I just can't wait to hear more and to see more of your work. And who knows, maybe at some point our next conversation is going to be like, check out my new action figure for this film that I have, or... That would be cool, you know, something like that.
So. Yeah, check out my feature film I just directed.
There you go. Yeah, which by the way is nominated for Best Picture in the Oscars. Just saying. I love it. So Ariel, at the end, as I said, keep doing what you do. It's inspiring, and I'm super sure there's hundreds of people out there who sees you as a role model. But most important, who sees you as someone who is making things done. And that's impressive. That's badass. And keep doing it because it's super, 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 super cool. I also want to thank those who listened to this episode either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to it. I appreciate that a lot. Now, the episode is about to be over, so make sure to follow Ariel like right now. It's going to be on the link below. So you're just going to follow her. Let's make her viral. Come on. Hashtag Team Ariel because she's awesome. She's badass. And again, thank you so much for making this happen. Have an incredible rest of the week. Keep killing it. Keep inspiring. Keep being this amazing, awesome, badass person you always are. And I'll see you in the next one.
Thank you. And you as well.
Sounds like a plan. So